Hi, we're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN, as we continue our discussion here with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy. We've got a City Commission meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, as it'll be the first, the first meeting of February here already. What do we have on the agenda here tonight? We have
well,
a public hearing?
It's fairly light. We do have a public hearing. This is starting our issuing of special assessment bonds. There's actually we have a little revised agenda because we've adjusted this particular special assessment item, and I don't know that we've gotten the revised out to the media yet. But instead of 23 projects, there's only going to be 20 that the commission will be considering this evening and holding the public hearing on the items for the Highlands at Grand Mere, Unit 1, Prairie Village, and was removed, and that had sanitary sewer, street, and water improvements. So it was going to be about a $6.8 million bond issuance, and now it's going to be about a $4.9 million issuance of bonds. And so this special assessment project, there are 20 different projects. All of these are primarily subdivision benefit districts that are residential subdivisions in nature. There's a little bit for city at large. So of that 4.9, about 4.89 is benefit district, and about 94,000 is city at large, and that's for a multi-use trail that was built in conjunction with the Ledgestone Ridge subdivision, and that's there out of Miller Parkway next to north of Roger Schultz Park that connects down with some of the lower subdivisions. So that is the only city at large expense, and the rest is to be assessed as special assessments to those benefiting properties. And this is an opportunity where the folks that have bought lots or live in these particular areas are noticed. They have an opportunity to ask questions through this public hearing process about their assessment and the way it was calculated, what those potential fees might be, and then that there'll be another period of time once we start the bond issuance process where they could pay off a portion of those costs without being assessed an interest over 20 years is typically what this bond is a special assessment on the particular property.
Okay, so that is coming tonight. Mm-hmm. Our caller has called back, as I understand. So let's get to the call. Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Good morning. Two questions. The airport, I heard something a couple weeks ago that we have to expand it and widen it, or we're not going to be able to land the big planes in here for the military, which I think was a lot of the reason it was built, or get the K-State planes in here, and the teams will have to stay either in Salina or Topeka. That'll be a real hit to our economy here. Nobody will be staying in motels. Their families will be staying with them. Second question, what about the parking garage downtown? That's been there about 8 or so years now. All the equipment's in is to charge. The top Leo is cut off. A beautiful place for people to go up and look and see the city. They've got it shut off because some of these college kids go down there and squeal around with their cars. Let's just go down there and arrest the kids instead of hurting the rest of the community that goes up there and looks out as a viewpoint. I will hang up and listen, and y'all have a great week. We need to slow down a little bit. We're the highest debt we've ever been in. We just need to slow down and complete some projects. Thank you very kindly.
Thanks for the call. I'll start with the airport. We have a study that's ongoing and being finalized for a master plan update to replace the runway at the airport. It's 40 years old and needs some work. At this point, we're just talking about replacing as it is with the 150-foot wide runway. There's been the FAA has come back and basically says that based on a number of factors, primarily what our primary commercial service use is with our regional jets, that they don't need a 150-foot wide runway. They only need a 100 feet. So they're only willing to, at least at this point, we're still in negotiations with them, willing to pay for that 100-foot width versus the full 150. But in order to even do that, the way that construction methodology would work, there's a lot of extra cost in shortening it because you have the connections to the taxiways that have to be rebuilt. And so there's quite a bit of cost there. And Clearly, we do not believe that we should shorten the width. We need to be able to accommodate the military charters and military aircraft that you mentioned for Fort Riley. That's critical to the functions of Fort Riley to be able to do that. We've utilized it a number of times, and certainly K-State Athletics, not only for our teams, but the visiting teams are a big component and user of that as well. So we don't think there's any question that it needs to be replaced to the full 150, and we are working. We had quite a bit of discussion about this at the goal setting session, and everybody's in agreement that that's what we need to do. We have some time. Once the master plan's updated, there would be a design grant for that particular project. We assume that will come later this year, and then a design that will take all of next year, and then likely to be a construction project in 22 or 23. So there's time to work on various aspects. We've notified our congressional delegation about that. We think there's a strong argument that can be made about replacing it to what it exists today. The threshold for them determining that is you have to have over 500 landings for the bigger aircraft, and we have around just around 300. So, you know, it's not like there were two versus 500. So we're over halfway to that threshold. So even if we had some discussion about, well, let's do a pro rata share of that at least, you know, it's not like how can you distinguish between, you know, somebody that has 498 landings versus 500 and somebody that has two versus 500, that you're just going to draw the line there. So I think there's a lot of discussion to happen about that one, but everybody's committed to replacing it to its full width and not diminish our ability to provide the services that we're currently able to provide and need to be able to provide in the future. So appreciate that call. The other one on the parking garage, you're right, there has been some challenges into the management of that parking lot and parking garage. And we have had some particular issues there, and we've certainly made the police department aware of that and been working on some methods. Part of that, too, is, you know, in the wintertime especially, we try to keep that top off. One of the things in parking garage management is you got to get that snow off that snow load off of there pretty quickly. And so that's another reason, you know, one of the things we do if there's a large conference that needs more space, we open that up. And so that's part of our ongoing management. As we discuss the parking garage in Aggieville and the parking management plan for Aggieville's parking garage, as well as the area parking, as well as the parking lot improvements we're doing at the airport, one of the things we're doing is making sure that the control equipment that is running all of that for the fee payment is all consistent with each other, and so that they'll all work together. It's the same type of stuff, and will benefit from being able to have one system that communicates with each other. So if we wanted to do some kind of system-wide rate or program, we'd have that ability to do that. So there's a lot of work going on, especially with the expansion of the conference center downtown. That's going to put certainly some more opportunity to be able to do some things there. And then there's ways to work with some of the local aspects of things about different type of parking arrangements and parking fees and rates for different functions.
All right. Thank you for the call. We have another caller here. Rita from Manhattan is joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is why the U.S. flag and the state flag are not flying from the Discovery Center or in the Blue Earth Plaza?
I wasn't aware that. So I'm not sure about that. You mean I'm trying to remember whether we had any to begin with. We do have a flag that we hang inside the Discovery Center on occasion, but I don't think we did put the poles up as part of the original design.
Well, so, I personally believe that we need to have those flags flying, you know, either from the when you come into town and you come in front of that Discovery Center and there's no flags. I think we need them, so
right.
I would hope you would discuss that.
All right, very good. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem in talking about an easy fix. But I did want to get back to the airport runway for a minute and the parking management program. You know, one of the things is if we go with the 100 feet, and certainly we can pay and do all of that, if our numbers are at 300 now, it's going to be even less, you know, if we go forward with the plan that the FAA or the federal department is discussing. And each time they look at those types of numbers and allocate funds, we're going to be on the short end of those. Because if you decrease our runway, that means fewer planes are going to be coming in. And when they make their judgments again, they're going to see it. Oh, look, you're not getting that much traction. So it's in our best interest to keep it at 150, mainly because of the two entities we work with, Kansas State University and Fort Riley. And Manhattan has done well with our airport. And because of the airport, we are able to do well with our businesses. And people are using our airport more and more. And I've never envisioned us being where we're at 10 years ago. When I first came to Manhattan back in 92, we had those shifty little planes that were kind of, you were hoping wouldn't crash somewhere and kind of going from here to Kansas City. And we've come such a long way, and this is not the time to stop and decrease it from 150 to 100. And we are, like Ron said, we're working with Senator Moran and Senator Roberts, and hopefully that will help some of the tensions that we're feeling in this area. But I think there's money there for us to keep it at 150. But either way, we're going to keep it at 150, even if it falls on our city paying for some of that. The parking management fee, we don't have one, like Ron said, at the downtown. We are discussing one for the airport and one for Aggieville. So these are conversations that continuously come up. When we talk about what does that fee look like when you want to park in a garage, we want to make sure it's still affordable for visitors that are coming to Manhattan, but also for our residents. What you don't want us to do is stifle somebody from using one of our facilities because they have to pay to park in a garage or to pay at the airport. So those are going to be long discussions we're going to be having. So nothing is set in stone, but we also don't want to have it fall on everybody who's not even using the garage, have them pick up the tab for it all the time either. So these are lengthy conversations, and anybody who wants to participate is more than welcome to give us feedback on what they see and how they feel this should be managed as far as parking is concerned. Parking has always been an issue that comes up regardless of what facility we're working with.
On the runway improvements, would an interlocal agreement maybe with Junction City be a possibility there? Because I know they do benefit from, you know, the Fort Riley aspect there, landing planes there.
So I think as we get closer to the date of needing to do something thing, we've had some regional conversations before about with government partners when we were first starting our jet service, and we had to have a revenue guarantee component. And so we haven't had a lot of success in getting folks to do that. We do have passenger facility charges that everybody who flies out of there certainly works with, but the military value that we have of the current circumstances is something that we can't ignore. We can't afford to diminish our capability in support of Fort Riley and their options that they have there. You know, they bring C-17s in now to ship helicopters and other equipment to various parts of the theater, and having that right next door is a huge benefit. And so we certainly don't want to diminish that capability for their operations. So I don't think it's a serious consideration by anyone to reduce it. It's just how if we can't get the federal government to pay for the full replacement with, then how are we going to fund that extra percent? And it's our normal participation for the grant would be about $4 million and then if we have to pick up the extra, it'd be about another $4 million. So figuring out a way to do that or other funds, you know, the value of Fort Riley and those services to the state of Kansas is an example from an economic development perspective. The economic impact of Fort Riley on the state is huge. And so we think there's various avenues that we can leverage to get that extra funding we need if we can't get it from the federal government. That's our first source. The Congress actually passed some new funding that deals with community relations around posts, so infrastructure improvements near posts. And we think that's a source that could be tapped as well. So we're looking at a lot of different avenues to be able to cover that. But our first and foremost, we think the FAA has an obligation to put it back the way it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll get to Robert's call here after the break. We're a little bit long here, so we'll take a break. Back with more In Focus after this on KMAN.